Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf chaf. We left off in daf yutes on the base. We got some catching up to do. We are about 5-6 lines before the lines get wide. We were in the middle of discussing the concept that anyone who raises a child in their home, it's as if they are the parent of that child. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina Omer Mehacha, Rabbi Chanina says that we can derive that concept from the following. Vatekrenelo Ashkeno Shamle Mor Yulad Ben Lena'ami, that the neighbor said that a son was born to Na'ami. Vachina'ami Yalda Velo Rus Yalda, but Na'ami didn't give birth, Rus was the one that gave birth. No, but the point is that if Na'ami raised the child is going to be called the child of Na'ami. Rabbi Yochanan says from the following pasuk, V'ishto ha'yehudis yolda es yered avigdor, eile b'nei basya bas para shalokach mered. Mered ze kalev, v'lo menikro shmo mered. Now when the pasuk says mered, it's referring to kalev. Why is he called mered? Shemarad batzis meraglim, because he went against the advice of the other meraglim. V'chi basya yolda, v'lo yocheved yolda. But wait a second, basya bas paro didn't give birth to the baby, to Moshe. It was yocheved that had given birth. So answers the Gemara, El Yocheved Yalda Ubasya Gidla Lefichach Nikral Shema. Anyone who's Megadel, a child in their home, it's as if they are the parent of the child, and therefore Basya is considered to be the parent of Moshe. Reb Lazar Mameachar, Reb Lazar says from the following pasuk, Galto Bizra Amcha Bnei Yaakov VYosef Sela. V'chi Yosef Yalad V'alo Yaakov Yalad. These are not, we're not describing the children of Yosef, we're describing the Shvatim, the children of Yaakov. Elo Yaakov Yalad V'Yosef Kilkel V'fichach Nikru Al Shmo. No, but the point is, although they may have been the biological children of Yaakov, Yosef supported them. Everyone would have died of hunger had it not been for Yosef. And anyone who supports them, again, as we said yesterday from the Maral, being Mashlim, also is considered to be as if they are your child, and therefore they're called the children of Yosef. Amrav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amrav Yonason, Kalamalamid ben Chaveru Torah, Malal Avakasav Kilu Yolado. Also, not only when you support someone, when you raise someone, when you teach somebody Torah, when you teach ben Chaveru Torah, the Torah considers it as if you are the parent of that child. Shnemar ve'ele told us Aaron u'Moshe, uksiv ve'ele Shmos b'nei Aaron. Lomelchad, and that's to teach you that Aaron Yalad, Umosha Limeid, Lufichach Nikra al Shemo. And again, the idea is that when you teach Torah, it's also a way of being mashlim the other person. In any sense of being mashlim the other person is all part of being considered a parent. L'chein ko'amar Hashem l'beis Yaakov asher pada as Avram. The Yaakov who redeemed Avram. V'chiechem atzin b'Yaakov shepadol l'Avram. Where do we ever find that Yaakov redeemed Avram? Sam Rav Yehuda shepadol mitzar gidul banim. Rav Yehuda explains that he was poda him from the tzar gidul banim, from the pain of raising children. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Yaakov is poda Avram from tzar gidul banim? So Rashi says, shehuta lov torech ha-shvatim. Shal Avram ayamuta lo soterech. T'chsivir b'si yasaracha v'hu pada'o. That really the Shvatim were supposed to belong to Avram. He's the one that got the bracha for Beis Yisracha. Yaakov saved him and said, you know what, Avram, you'll only have to raise two kids. And Yaakov is the one that had to raise the Shvatim. So he's the one that took on the pain of all the Gidul Banim. Frak the Tos HaRash on Rashi, that's not a pain. To Adrabba, it's a great simcha, a person to be able to be zocha, to have 12 children, all tzaddikim. It's a wonderful simcha, it's not a tzar at all. So the Tosfos Rosh explains, the tzar that we're speaking about over here is the tzar of Mechiras Yosef, the tzar of Dina being taken, the tzar of Shimon, all that, what Shimon and Levi did to Shechem, all that's tzar Gidul Banim, and going down to Mitzrayim as a result of all that, that's the tzar Gidul Banim. All of that could have happened in the times of Avram Avinu already, that the process could have begun in his times, but Avram Avinu got to live a relatively peaceful life from his children in that sense. He obviously didn't have such an easy time with Yishmael, but still he got, at least in that sense, he had some relative peace. Yaakov is the one who took all that on his shoulders. V'ahendu d'ksiv, v'lata yevosh Yaakov, v'lata yevosh Yaakov me'aviv, v'lata panav yichavru me'aviv. That Yaakov doesn't have to be embarrassed from his father or humiliated from his grandfather. He's the one that took on from his grandfather all of the tzar Gidul Banim. Ksiv palti uksiv paltiel. So yesterday we discussed a little bit about Palti ben Laish. Michal, David's wife, was given to Palti ben Laish when Shaul took her from David. So Ksiv Paltiel. Sometimes he's called Palti, sometimes he's called Paltiel. Amar B'Yochanan, Palti Shmo, V'lama Nikra Shmo Paltiel, Shapalto Kel Min Avera. His real name was Palti. Why is he called Paltiel? As an indication that the Ribbono Shel Olam had saved him from doing an Avera. Ma Asa, what did he do? Na'at Tzcherev Beino Leveina. He stuck a sword between himself and Michal. Amar Kala Osik B'Davrzeh Yidaka B'Cherev Zeh. And he declared that anyone who's Osik in this matter, anyone who goes and sleeps with Michal, meaning she's an Eishas Ish, and therefore anyone who sleeps with her deserves to be struck by the sword. V'aksiv V'yelech Ita Isha. But doesn't it say V'yelech Ita Isha, referring to him as her husband? Shenasa L'ki Isha. No, that just means that he loved her and he cherished her like a husband, but not that he lived with her like a husband. V'aksiv Halach L'vacha. But it says that he was Halach L'vacha Achareha, that he was crying after her when she was taken back from him. So Ala Mitzvah Da'azalmine. No, that's only because he lost the opportunity to do the mitzvah, not because he lost any physical intimate relationship with her. He was doing this great mitzvah of not having a physical intimate relationship with her, and he thought that that was a great zechus for him. And now he's not going to have the opportunity to do that mitzvah. Ad bachurim shenasu shneim kebachurim shlotam utam bia. That Palti and Michal were both like very young children that never did any sort of avera, never were toim tam bia, that they didn't do anything when they were together. Frakt Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos. Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis asks, okay, so he didn't have bia, but yichud with an eishes ish is also aser. Yichud with an eishes ish is aser midaraisa. We the Gemara darshins that yichud is in fact an issur daraisa with arayos with an eishes ish would certainly be an issur daraisa. How is he allowed to have yichud with Michal? So Tosfos answers that maybe he left the door open. Pesach Pesach Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Can you imagine living together with somebody, no children, and you manage to avoid yichud issues? He left the door open the whole time. He did something. Pesach Pesach Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He stayed far away from her at other times. And that's one answer. Tosfos also answers that maybe Palti Maker didn't really paskin like Shaul. He really held like Shaul that David was not married to her, and therefore she was mutaris to him. And that was the great chumrah, that even though Palti did like Shaul, still he was machmir on himself to be machmir for Shitas David. It's machlokas aposkim. I really hold like this shita, and really make radin. So legabe yichud, I'll rely on the shita of Shaul because that's what I really hold like. That David's not really married to her, so she's not an eishes ish. But I'm be machmer myself for the other shita as well, for the shita of David. And that's the godless of it. That the godless of it was that he didn't even think it was really aser, and he still managed to overcome his yetzer hara for her. I mean, when you know that someone is nisud daraisa, so then maybe it's easier to overcome the yetzer hara for it because you know that it's. That it's forbidden, but when you're not even sure, you think it probably isn't forbidden. So that's all the more difficult to overcome the Yetzer Hara. As the Gemara says that one of the curses a person experiences is when he's bumming a derech and he finds his wife to be a suffek nida when he comes home. So Rashi points out, what do you mean suffek nida? Wouldn't it be worse if you found your wife to be a nida? So no, the answer is it's worse to find to be a suffek nida, because that's when your yetzer hara really gets the best of you. If you come home and she's a nida, okay, so she's a nida. You come home and she's a suffek nida, maybe she's not really a nida, then you start to justify. It's much easier to justify to yourself. So that's the godless of Palti over here. That Tulsa says it could be he even held like Shaul, which is a phenomenal chiddush. Okay, says the Gemara, weiter. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tokfo shel Yosef an vasnuso shel Boaz. The greatness of Yosef was the easy thing for Boaz to do. Tokfo shel Boaz an vasnuso shel Palti ben Laish. And the great challenge for Boaz would have been easy for Palti ben Laish. Meaning we're saying that which Boaz did was much greater than that which Yosef did in terms of his Yetzer Hara, and that which Palti ben Laish did was much greater than that which Boaz did in terms of his Yetzer Hara. Tokfa shal Yosef and Vasnusu shal Boaz dichsiv, vehi bechatzi alayla veyachra de ish, veyalefes. My veyalefes, Amarav Shenasa Besaru Karasha Lefasos, that he became very aroused, and even though he was very aroused, nevertheless, he still didn't do anything. So that was a great act of heroism on his part, that he that despite his arousal, he didn't do anything. Tadfu Shal Boaz and Vasnusa Shal Palti Ben Laish. Palti Ben Laish was even greater. Kedamran, like we said, the greatness of Palti Ben Laish, where he was living with her constantly. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was an extended period of time where they were supposed to be living like man and wife, and he still overcame his Yetzar Hara. That's the God of Palti Ben Laish. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Maidik Siv Rabbos Panasos Chayil, Viat Alisal Kulana, Rabbos Panasos Chayil Ze Yosef Abba. Rabbos Panasos Chayil is a reference to Yosef and Boaz. Ve'at Alis Al Kulana ze Palti Ben Laish. And At Alis Al Kulana is a reference to Palti Ben Laish. The Marsha explains that we're not referring to Yosef, Boaz, and Palti Ben Laish per se. What we're really referring to is the women in the stories of Yosef, Boaz, and Palti Ben Laish. Rabbos Panasos Chayil refers to the women in the stories because Osu Chayil refers to raising people who are going to be a chayil, who are going to be an army. So that's what it's talking about. That Rus and Eshes Potiphar didn't do anything inherently good in their actions with their respective men that the pasuk deals with. But the Gemara is darshening Rabbos Panasos Chayil because Rus was zocha to make a chayil. She was mam in Malchus Beis David, and va'asu chayil be'afrasa. Right, that's reference to Malchus Beis David. Eishes Potiphar was zocha to be mamid from her own daughter Yosef, and the Malchus Ephraim also a Malchus came from her, and that's also an Ephraim. The Yeravam is referred to as a ben chayil. So that's Rabbos Panasos Chayil. But At Alis Al Kulana is when there's a godless in the maisa of the woman herself. Michal herself did a great thing because she was by Palti Ben Laish for many years and she never did a single Averis, she never was toying Tam Chait, and she didn't even tell her father what was going on. So that's At Alis Al Kulana, that her role in it was in the relationship was even greater than the roles of Rus and Eshes Potiphar. Amr Rab Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amr Rabbi Yonatan, Maidich Siv Shekhar Achein Vehevel Yofi, Shekhar Achein Ze Yosef, Hevel Yofi Ze Boaz, Yiras Hashem Hitesalal Ze Palti Ben Laish. That again, Yosef and Boaz pale in comparison to what Palti Ben Laish did. Dover Acher Shekhar Achein Ze Dor Shel Moshe. Others dash in the pasuk differently. That Shekhar Achein refers to the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hevel Yofi Ze Dor Shel Yoshua. Yiras Hashem Hitesalal Ze Dor Shel Chizkiyo. That's a reference to the generation of Chizkiyo Amelech. Dover Acher Shekhar Achein Ze Dor Shel Moshe. Vi Yoshua. The Hevel Yofi Zedor Shel Chizkiyo, Yiras Hashem Yitzalal Zedor Shel Rabbi Dov Rabbi Ilai. That the generation of Rabbi Dov Rabbi Ilai was greater than all those generations. Amar Laval Rabbi Dov Rabbi Ilai Shoyu Shisha Talmidim Iskasim B'Talvas Achas Va'oskim B'Torah. They said about Rabbi Dov Rabbi Ilai that six Talmidim would cover themselves with a single talis and be Osek in Torah all at the same time. The Marsha understands this as a lesson in Gaiva, in Anivus. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that anyone who is Misga'e B'talish Shal Talmud Chacham and is not really a Talmud Chacham, they ain't machnisnos of a mechitzasa shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. That someone who's Misga'e with the talis of a Talmud Chacham, what does that mean, Misga'e with the talis of a Talmud Chacham? Talmud Chacham had a larger talis than regular people. He was more tsanua, so he had a larger garment, a larger cloak than regular people, normal people would wear. It was more tsanua. So someone who goes and shows, look, I have this Sneas Yisera, I wear this bigger talus, the talus of a Talmud Chacham, and he's not a Talmud Chacham, so they're not machnis him to the mechitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's so since it's a minig of tznius, of extra tznius, gas saruach, it's considered gas saruach for someone who's not a Talmud Chacham. In the generation of Bidur Rabbi Lai, explains the Marsha, there was no gaiva whatsoever with talisim gedolim. They would take the talis of a Talmud Chacham, the extra large talis, and divide it into six little talisim, and each person would take their little talis, and that was it. That was the level of anivus that they had. Of course, that's not the Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah is at the same time that they were so poor, and nevertheless, they were learning Torah, even though they had nothing. They covered themselves, six people were covering themselves with one talis. It also tells you, I think Chaim Shmulevitz says the Shmuz about this, it also doesn't just tell you how poor they were, it tells you about the Avas Yisrael that they had. Because the Gemara says elsewhere, that if two people don't like each other, they could have the biggest house in the world, and it's not going to be big enough for both of them. But if two people love each other, then they can live on the Chuda Shlomacha. We just had the Gemara, on the head of a needle is enough space for two people who really like each other. other. So how can six people share a single talus? Right? You share a cover with someone, you try to pull this way, this one pulling that way, pulling from each other. No, but if all you're concerned about is, does the other guy have enough? Is the other one being covered enough with the talus? Then there's always going to be enough for even six to be covered with a talus achas. That was the gadlus of the generation of Rabbi Dibar Ilai. It's also interesting, it doesn't say Amru Aleim al Doro shel Rabbi Dibar Ilai. It says Amru Alav al Rabbi Dibar Ilai. This was a comment about the leader of the generation, that any generation that's so unselfish, it says something about their leadership even more than it says something about themselves as individuals, that someone was setting a proper example for them, someone was teaching them in the proper way. So that's a statement about Rabbi Dibar Ilai himself. Says the Mishnah, Meis lo meis einu yotzei mipesach platzron shelo, if the king has a relative who dies, he doesn't leave his palace. Rabbi Yehuda omer, imrotzo latzei sachar amita yotzei. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if he wants to follow after the coffin, so let him go. Shekein motzina b'David, shiyat sachar mitotzo shel Avner. We find that David followed after the coffin of Avner, at Avner's funeral. Shnemar v'amelch David holech achar amita. It's beferish in the pasuk. Amalei lo haya davar alafayis hazam. He says, now that, yes, it's beferish in the pasuk, but that was an exception to the rule. That's not normal. A king is not supposed to go to a funeral and follow after the mita. David did this as an exception in order to calm the people down. And when they would give a sudas havra to the king, everyone would sit on the ground, the king would sit on a dargesh. The Gemara is going to discuss what a dargesh is. But the idea is that if David went out, so that's a machlokas. Was that the standard? Rabbi Yehuda says, that's the standard. A king is allowed to. The Tanakhama says, no, that was an exception to calm the people down. Why did the people need to be calmed down? Because when Avner was killed, people assumed that David asked Yoav to do it, that David wanted Avner dead. Why would David want Avner dead? Because Avner was the general for Shaul. He was the leader of Shaul. He was the leader of Shaul's troops the entire time that Shaul was chasing after David. He was Shaul's right-hand man the entire time. So everyone assumed David drew Avner close, even though that's not really what happened. Avner offered David. He said, I'll come over to your side. After he saw that it wasn't working out with Ish-bosheth, he said, let me come over to your side. And David accepted him. But everyone assumed that David drew Avner in as a way of setting him up to kill him, to take revenge on everything that Avner had done. But that was not in fact the truth, and David needed to convince people that he didn't do that. So he had to show that he was seriously in mourning over the loss of Avner. So he left his palace, he went to the funeral, he gave a stirring hesped, he did whatever he could to prove to the people that he had nothing to do with Avner's death. Tanu Rabbanan, obviously Yoav did, because Yoav was David's right-hand man, and all of a sudden he brings in Avner, who's the enemy the whole time, and all of a sudden he's a higher-ranking official than Yoav is. So Yoav has what to do with Avner. Yoav killed him, right? But David had nothing to do with it. David didn't ask him to do it. Tanu Rabbanan, Makom Shnagu Nashim Latzei Sachar Mita Yotzos. The Brisa says that if the minig is that women go behind the coffin, so then they could do that. Lefnei Amita, and if the minig is that women go in front of the coffin, Yotzos, they could do that too. Rabbi Yehuda, he says it has to be that the women go in front, because we find David went in the back. There's no way David's walking amongst the women. No, you can't learn anything from what David did at that time. Don't learn what the standard procedure was from David, because after all, we just said David was going there to calm people down, to get people to understand that he didn't order the hit. And it worked. So he needed to mingle with everybody. He needed to be seen by everybody. The women had to see that he was there and he was crying. The men had to see that he was there and he was crying. So yes, David went lefnei amita, lachar amita, amongst the men, amongst the women. So don't bring any rayas from how the pasuk describes where David was situated, how the women must have not been in that spot. David went amongst the women also. That everyone knew, Kola'am, the women included, that it wasn't David's idea to go and kill Avner. Now, the idea of the women going in front of the mita, Tosfos over here says, well, why do they have such a minhag that women would go in front of the mita? Says Tosfos, to keep in the shas sarhu, lekal mechash lihiris. So Tosfos is referring to the idea that the Gemara says elsewhere that you're not supposed to have a woman walk in front of you. You're not supposed to walk behind a woman because we're afraid of hear her. We're afraid you're going to be staring at the woman when she's walking in front of you. But at a funeral, no one's looking at women at a funeral. You're not going to be staring at the woman in front of you at a time of tsar at a funeral. And the Yerushalmi says, yes, that explains why it's mutter. But why would they do it lechatchila? Why would they dafka have the women go in front? So Yerushalmi has one shita that they would dafka have the women go in front because the women are sort of taking the blame for the death. Because the women are the ones that brought Misa into the world with the sin of Chava. And they never lived that down. So at every funeral, they walk in the front. That's one day in the Yerushalmi. Now, the istina gula acharamita, v'anashim l'fneamita, l'fi shekinai l'benot shol sheistakl ben anashim. The other shita says, yes, you're right, the women caused death in the world, but nevertheless, they still walk behind the mita because it's not tsnua that the women are going to walk in front and the men are going to be walking behind them. Again, like we said before, because of the issues of hirhurim. Apparently, that second sheet of the Yerushalmi thinks that even at a funeral, there could be hirhurim if the men are walking behind the women. Why aren't we makbid for this anymore? Walking in the street that we don't, at least most communities, we don't run away if there's a woman walking in front of us. We don't just try to run ahead of her or anything like that. Why are people not makbid to this? So there's a famous comment from, I think, the Truma Sadashen, or maybe the student of the Truma Sadashen, who says that we no longer have to be makbid for this. And he doesn't really explain fully why we don't have to be makbid. So Shlomo Zalman writes in a tshuva in Milcha Shlomo that we're not makbid for this anymore because it would be useless to be makbid. He said, we're talking, this was said at a time where women were not commonly found in the streets. If you found a woman out in the shuk, it was unusual. So yes, so move away from behind the woman, and instead you'll move in front of her. Nowadays, you move from behind one woman, you'll find yourself behind another woman. So it's not going to help. There's no sense in observing this halacha because it's not something that's able to be observed. And plus the fact that women are so commonly found in the streets, so it's something that we sort of have gotten used to. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing that we've gotten used to it, but the bottom line is it's a fact that we've gotten used to it. So since we've gotten used to it a little bit more, there's less of a chashash of such hirhurim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Oh, also one more thing. The Ben Yoyada explains that perhaps the reason why in some places the men walked in front, not stam because of the hirhurim issue. He says, what was the reason for the minhag of women walking in front? It was because women take the blame for the misa. He says, maybe the reason the men walk in front is because we're assuming that the men have to take the blame for the misa. Why? Because at Matan Torah, the misa was taken away from the world. And when did it come back? At the Chet Ha'Egel. When Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chet Ha'Egel, who was not involved in the Chet Ha'Egel? Women. Women didn't participate in the Chet Ha'Egel. It was the men who participated. So it's really the men who brought Misa back. And therefore, if anyone's going to take blame for Misa nowadays, it's going to have to be the men walking in the front. That's how the Ben Yoyada tries to suggest. We're on the second medium-sized line now. Chafam Ralph Darish Rava. Ma'idich siv ha'yavav kala'am la'havros, says David. Ksiv la'hachros v'karin la'havros. We have a strange kriya ksiv. It says on the one hand that all the people came la'hachros, says David, to cut down David. And then the way we read it is la'havros, to give a havra, to comfort him. B'tchilu la'hachros l'b'sof la'havros. No, but the point is, they came to the funeral wanting blood. They were so upset at David, they thought David killed Avner. But at the end of the day, they felt badly for David. They realized that David was also morning. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Mipnei Ma Nenash Avner. Why was Avner punished? Why did he deserve to die? Mipnei Shahayla Limchos B'Shal V'lo Micha. Because he should have stopped Shaul and he didn't stop him. Should have stopped Shaul from what? So Rashi says he should have stopped Shaul from killing out Nov Yerah Kohanim. Of all the averus, of all the issues that Shaul had, Shaul's killing of Nov Yerah Kohanim was the greatest. It was the worst thing that he had done. That he killed out an entire city of innocent Kohanim because he suspected that they were covering for David. And in fact, they were innocent. They weren't covering for David. They didn't even know David was a fugitive. David just happened to pass by the city and he kills out the entire city. In fact, that was the one place where Shaul turns to his officers, to his generals, and says, do me a favor, kill out Nov Yerah Kohanim, and they didn't want to do it. They refused. They initially refused to do it because they thought that he was overreacting, that it can't be, that it's the appropriate thing to do. That's what the Gemara says, that Shaul experienced a sense of Rachmanus, where he wasn't supposed to have Rachmanus with Agag, the king of Amalek, and when someone has Rachmanus and they're not supposed to have Rachmanus, ultimately they're going to be cruel when they should have Rachmanus. And that's how Shaul acted with Novi HaKohanim. In fact, the chapter in Tehillim about Novi HaKohanim and that David laments Novi HaKohanim, ironically, is chapter Nun Beis, Nov. Chapter Nun Beis and Tilim is about Novi HaKohanim. Okay, and also it just shows you a lot about the personalities. In that chapter in Tilim, David blames himself for Novi HaKohanim. That's David's personality. He blames himself for everything. Shaul's personality is he's always finding excuses. Well, I did this because of this one, because of that one. That's the difference. And that's part of what made David a personality that's roy to be a melech. And Shaul as a tzaddik is unparalleled. But as a personality for Malchus, he didn't have that kind of personality. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Micha v'lo ne'ena. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, Avner did say something to try to stop Shaul, but it didn't help. Ushnei mikra echa darshu. They both darshu in the same pasuk. The pasuk about David HaMelech's eulogy for Avner. Vayikonein HaMelech al Avner v'yomer. Hakamos novel yomos Avner. Should Avner die like novel yadechlo asuros? His hands weren't bound up for aglechlo l'nechashtay mugashu. His legs weren't chained. Mandi Amar lo Micha hachikamer. The one that says that Avner did not try to stop Shaul says that David was saying the following: Yadechalu asuros v'raglechalol nechashtayim ugashu. My time alo mechisa. Who tied you down and stopped you from saying anything? Kinefal lefnei bnei avlan afalta, and that's why you've fallen like people who have done things that are wrong. Umandi amar micha v'lo nena. The shita that says that he tried to stop Shaul, it just didn't work. It's muik mitama. He was really saying it as a tamia. Hakamos novel yamos yadechalu asuros v'raglechalol nechashtayim. You did everything you could do. You tried to stop him. Why is it, he was saying, not that I therefore know why. He's saying, why is it that you've fallen such a horrible death? So Taka, why is it? If he really did try to stop Shaul, so why was he punished in this way? By supporting Ishbosheth, he delayed the Malchus Beis David by 2.5 years. He should not have thrown his support behind Ishbosheth, because then Ishbosheth got to rule for a short time, and that delayed the Malchus Beis David, and that's what he was punished for. Says Tosfos, even though we have a drush from Pasuk where kings are going to come from you, and that's from Binyamin, and who was going to come? Shaul and Ishbosheth. So you see that it was predestined that Ishbosheth was supposed to be a melech. So what did Avner do wrong? That was supposed to happen. Ishbosheth was supposed to be a melech. How can you say that Avner's support delayed the Malchus Beis David? This was destined centuries earlier that Ishbosheth was supposed to be a melech. Mikol makom ha'yachol eskayim b'makom acher v'loy ha'ila lishos Malchus Beis David she'nimshach kvar al pinavi. Interesting. It could have happened some other way. Let God worry about how those brachas are going to come true. You have to do what you're supposed to do. You know that there's supposed to be a Malchus Beis David. You have to support the Malchus Beis David. It's very similar to the discussion in the Rambam and the Ramban in regards to why Paro was punished for all that happened to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. After all, weren't we told that Ger Yezarach HaBeretz Lo Lahem, wasn't that part of, weren't we predestined to serve as Avadim somewhere in a foreign land? So why was Paro punished? He was just doing the will of God. So it's Machlokes Rambam Ramban. Either because he overworked us, he went way overboard beyond what he was supposed to do, or you could say that no, he didn't have to do it. It was supposed to happen, but that he didn't have to be the one to step up and do it. Someone was going to do it. Don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will figure out who else will do it. Who else will subjugate the Jews to slavery if it wasn't going to be Paro? So that's a discussion. Can you really say that? That he didn't have to do it? What do you mean? Maybe everyone could say, everyone really has full Bechira on that level, so everyone could have been the one that didn't have to do it, then it didn't have to happen. But it did have to happen. So it's a difficult thing, a difficult concept of Bechira in that level. Ukshemavrinoso, and when they would give the king the Sudas Avra, he would sit on a dargish. My dargish, what is a dargish? Amr Ula Arsa Dugada. It's a good luck chair. Rashi says they would set a good luck bed. They would set up a bed and a table in the house that they wouldn't use at all. And they did that as a mazel. It was a mazel for the house. It was considered to be for good luck. The Chiddush Aran says, God forbid! Lo teikas os b'Yisrael! A good luck thing? That's usher! That's Darkei Amori! That's worse than Darkei Amori! How could you do such a thing? So he says, no. They set a separate table or a separate chair as a siman of osher, as a way of showing we don't need everything that we have. We have more than we need. Look, we have this extra bed. We're not even using it. That was the way of demonstrating a sense of ashirus, a sense of having more than you need. The Rush says that it wasn't Darkei Amori because they didn't do this for the sake of nichush. They did this in relation to what the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, that the Sar who's memuna al anius is very much in love with the Sar that's memuna on mius. That anius and mius connect to each other. That which poverty and disgusting, unclean, not being neat connect to each other. So they would always keep one bed that was made, that was neat, that was clean, and that was a way of chasing away the Sar of anius. That the Sar of anius wouldn't be comfortable in that house if there was one bed that was always made at all times. Beis Yosef writes that it's not Avodah Zarah because in the Batei Avodah Zarah they would not do this. They would set up a shulchan, not a mita. And this dargish was a mita, it wasn't a shulchan. Not sure why that really helps either way. If it's only for good luck, it seems to be something that's a Darkei Amori type of thing. Okay, so my dargish, what is a dargish? So it's an arsa degado, good luck bed. Amalei Rabbanu Lula, mika miti dada in the lo svinei v'hashem svinei lei. Wait a second, when he's not an avel, he doesn't use it. Now that he's an avel, he uses the special bed. To the contrary, that sounds like he's living on a higher level when he's an avel. Isn't that not supposed to happen? So maskevah rava my kushi, he says, no, what's the problem? Dilma miti dava achilu shtia, dada in the lo achin of lo ashkinei, hashtakom achin lei v'kom ashkinei lei. But every avel is fed a suda savra. When he's not an avel, you don't have to go bring him over food. And yet when he is an avel, you go and you bring him over food. So just because he's served in a certain way, doesn't mean that it's inappropriate for the avelus. Eli ikasha hakasha. If you have a problem with the dargish, this should be the problem. Dargish enot tzarech. You don't have to do kfiyas amita on a dargish, you could stand it up. But if it's a regular bed, that they just didn't use, why don't you have to turn it upside down? The halacha is when we do kfiyas amita, we don't do it anymore, Tosfos points out, because our beds, it won't help to do kfiyas amita on our beds. Either if we were to turn over our bed frames, the beds would be unusable. If we were to turn over our mattresses, we will have done nothing. It doesn't even change it at all. It doesn't even make it less comfortable. So it doesn't make sense to do kfiyas amita anymore in our beds. So we don't do kfiyas amita. But back in the day when they would do kfiyas amita, where if you turned over the bed, it was still usable, just slightly less comfortable, and that was the idea of kfiyas amita, they wouldn't only do kfiyas amita on the bed that the avil slept on. All the beds in the house would have kfiyas amita. This was one of those dinim. We have certain dinim that are dinim on the avel, and certain dinim that are dinim in the base avel. The halacha is not only are you not allowed to be shoal b'shalom in avel, you're not allowed to be shoal shalom in a base avel. The avel sometimes will say, when two people are sitting shiva, when he's sitting shiva and there are two people that are being menachim, he'll say to one person, oh, this is Rabbi so-and-so, this is so-and-so, you should, and one will say to the other, shalom aleichem. That's aser. It's a din. It's not only a din not say shalom aleichem to the avel, it's a din in the base avel. Lo yomer shmua v'dvar gada b'base avel. You're not allowed to say Torah. Not only is an avel not allowed to learn Torah? Learning Torah can't happen in the base avel. Kfiyas hamita also, you see, is not only a din for the avel, it's a din in the base avel. What do we do as a remembrance for kfiyas hamita? We cover the mirrors, because kfiyas hamita, the Gemara Moed Katan says, is done because the Muslim Yukni Nasatilim of Avonoseim of Achtiya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this Tzelem Elokim, and in our Averos, we turned around the Tzelem Elokim. So what do as a Zecher to the kfiyas hamita? We keep away the Tzelem Elokim. We cover the mirrors so we don't see our Tzelem Elokim. That's also, and that's why we cover all the mirrors in the house, not only the ones in the Avel's private room. All the mirrors in the house, because it's a din in the base avel, not a din in the avel himself. But anyway, the bottom line over here is, so why would we not be called for the dargesh? If it was a regular bed, we should turn it over. So my kushya says, it's not a problem. If you have a bed that you just use for kelim, you don't need to do kfiyas amita on that bed. Kfiyas amita is only done on beds that are used for sleeping. A dargesh is not used for sleeping. So granted, it doesn't have to be used by the avel, but someone uses it for sleeping. That's where you would do kfiyas amita. If there's a problem with the dargesh, it's the following. Rav Shmuel Leil says you would just undo the straps of the dargesh and it would fall on its own. But if it's a regular bed, what kind of regular bed has straps? No, you know what a dargesh is? It's not a regular bed. It's a leather cot. And the cot, the leather is tied on with straps to the frame, and instead of turning it upside down, where you're going to ruin the leather from the moisture of the ground, they would just undo the straps and the leather would fall down to the ground. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, dargesh seruga mitocho. A dargesh is tied to the frame from within the frame. Mita seruga me'al gaba. The mita is tied around the frame. Over the frame. Meisve kliyetz meimis ha-mekabal tumah. But wait a second, we say in Maseches Kelim, at what point is a kliyetz mekabal tumah? Hamita v'harisa mishiyah shufam ba'ar adag. So a bed and an arisa are considered to be mekabal tumah once you've smeared them with fish skin. Why do you smear them with fish skin? To smooth it out, because it's very rough and sharp edges. V'im mita misuregis me'al gaba, lama li shifas ar adag. But if the mita goes over the frame, well then there are no sharp edges, because you have the mita covering the entire frame. So why would you need to smear it with fish skin? Elahava hamitochu. So it must be that a mita also is connected from within the frame, doesn't go around and over the frame. Mita uluva fuki bibizioni, dargesh uluva fuki bavkasa. Difference is, mita goes directly into the frame, the dargesh has loops that come out of the frame that it connects to. Amr Rabbi Yaakov, Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, Halach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amr Rabbi Yaakov Barami, Mita Shenaklita Yotzin Zokfa V'dayo. A Mita that has two posts, one at each end of the bed, and is therefore going to be impossible to turn upside down to do a kfiyas amita. So zokfa, you stand it up on its side, V'dayo, and that's going to be good enough. You don't need to turn it totally upside down. Fine. New Mishnah. The king can bring out the people to a melchemes harashus with the permission of the beisdin of 71 judges. I thought these mishnayos were supposed to tell us how powerful the king is. And now this mishnah tells us he needs the permission of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. That doesn't demonstrate power. That demonstrates lack of power. So that's what the Rishonim say. The Ran explains that it's explaining the Maila of a Melech in the Diuk over here, that it's Tafka Melchemes HaRashus where he needs to get permission from the Sanhedrin. But for Melchemes Mitzvah, he could do it on his own. He needs no permission. So it's the Diuk that really shows you the power of a Melech. He could go and make a road and wherever he wants and no one could stop him. Right, Rashi says, stop, he wants a new field, he can go in someone else's field, throw them out and take it for himself. Whatever he wants. The Yad Ramah doesn't like that. The Yad Ramah says, really? King could just go take away other people's things at random and keep it forever? Doesn't sound fair. So the Yad Ramah explains that no, it means that if he's going somewhere and he needs to make a road to bring his troops through somewhere, he can go through your field, he can go through your vineyard, he can take it over for that time that he needs it. But he can't just take it indefinitely just because he feels like it. Okay, Derech HaMelech in lo shir. There's no shir for Derech HaMelech. There's no minimum size. He can take as much of your field as he wants to make his derech. V'kala and bozim v'nosno, when they take spoils in war, they always give the melech. V'unotel chelik barosh. He has to take, and he always gets the first choice. He gets half of the spoils, and he gets first choice of spoils. Tanina chadazimna, didn't we already learn this once? Ein mosin l'mechamas or shosel pi bezin shal shum v'echad. Why does our Mishnah have to repeat that we need the Sanhedrin HaGadol to be involved in going after melchamas or shos? And says Gemara, no, I did Tana call me the Melech. Tana nami mutzim the Melchamas Harashos. Once we're discussing everything a Melech can do, so we mentioned the Melchamas Harashos, and Melchamas Harashos is not only done with the Melech; it's also done with the Sanhedrin. So we mentioned that as well. Amar Vidom Shmuel Kol Amar Parshas Melech Melech Mutarbo. Everything that it says in the Parshas Melech, when the Jewish people ask for a Melech, and Shmuel Hanavi tells them, "You sure you want a Melech? You know what he could do? He could take your sons, your daughters, your fields, your..." And he starts going on and on about all these unbelievable powers that the king has. Question is, was he trying to scare them? but it's not really true? Or is that actually true? A king is actually allowed to do all of those things. So that's the machlokas. Shmuel says, Melech Mutterbo! Absolutely, he's permitted to do every one of those things. Rav Amar, Lo Nemar Parshazu Elala Ayim Aleim. Nah, he was just trying to scare them. Shnemar Som Tasm Alecha Melech, Shetei Masa Alecha. He was trying to get them used to the idea of having real Ema of the Melech. Kitanoi, Rabbi Yossi Amar Kolom Parshaz Melech Melech Mutterbo, Rabbi Yidom Lo Nemar Parshazu Elech, Kitei La Ayim Aleim, Shnemar Som Tasm Alecha Melech, Shetei Masa Alecha. So you see the Tanoim have the same Achlokas. Vechenoi Rabbi Yidom, Rabbi Yidom also says, Gimel Mitzvos Nitzavu Yisrael B'Knisasin La'aretz. Klal Yisrael had three mitzvos to do when we came into Eretz Yisrael. Laham Melech, number one, to establish a king. Lahakma Zara Shal Malik, number two, to destroy a Malik. Vilivnosan Beis HaBechira, number three, to build the Beis HaMikdash. This is Rav Shachter points out in his Sefer Bikvei Atzon, in the piece on, the piece on Begidre Medinos Melchama Seha, he discusses what the concept of Aschalta de Geula means. That we say in the Tefillah for the Medina, it says Reishis Tzmichas Geulaseinu, and that's a very controversial phrase. In my old shul in Shari Tefillah, in the downstairs minion, the Nusach Sfarad minion, they leave out the phrase. They wouldn't say, the Gabbai would say Shetehe Reishis Tzmichas Geulaseinu, that prayer that it should be Reishis Tzmichas Geulaseinu, but he didn't want to say that it is Reishis Tzmichas Geulaseinu. He thought it was a chutzpah to make such a declaration that it's Reishis Michas Gulaseinu. So Rav Shachter said this is the source to say that it is Reishis, that Hakamas HaMedina is Reishis Michas Gulaseinu. Because what's the definition of Geula? It's the Parshios we're reading now. The Ramban writes that Sefer Shmos is called Sefer Geula because of the Mishkan at the end. That the Mishkan, having a Mikdash, is the definition of Geula. So what's the Reishis Michas HaGeula? The process, the first step in the process that will culminate in Mikdash. What's the first step of the process that will culminate in Mikdash? This Gemara, it says, there's a three-step process. First thing, Laham Lamelech, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Second, Lahakra Zara Shalamalek. And third, to have a Beis HaBechira. So once we've gotten that first step of the process of Laham Lamelech, then we know that we're well on our way. That's Reish Tzmichas Gulaseinu. Rabbi Nurai Omer Lo Nemer Parsha Zuel Keneget Harumasan. That this parsha is just to address the complaints of the Jewish people. Shnemer Vamarta Simalai Melech. Tanya. Rabbi Lazar Omer Zakenim Shabadar Kogan Shalu. The Zakenim of the generation of Shmuel were asking appropriately for a king. They just wanted someone to judge them. But it was who messed up. That they wanted to be like all the other nations. That was inappropriate. They had these three mitzvahs when they come into Eretz Yisrael to establish a government, to destroy Amalek, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. Which one is supposed to be first? It says Yad al Kes Kab before Milchama Lashem Ba'Malik, so you have to have a Kisei before you have a Milchama Ba'Malik. Vein Kisei al Melech. A Kisei means Melech. Shneimer Ve'yesher Shlom al Kisei Hashem LeMelech. But I still don't know. Should you build the Beis HaMikdash first or destroy Amalek first? When do you build the Beis HaMikdash? Once there's peace. So you see, you have to destroy Amalek first. When does David approach Nasan and Navi with the idea that he wants to go build the Beis HaMikdash? Only once he has peace from his enemies that surrounded him. Amrei Shlakish, Betchila Malach Shlomo Al Yonim, Shnerma V'yeshuv Shlomo Al Kisei Hashem, Ulbsof Malach Al Tachtonim. At first, Shlomo Melech only ruled over even the Al Yonim, then his Malchus was limited to down here on earth. Shnerma Kihuro de Becholever Anar, Me Tivsach V'yad Aza, that he ruled over from Tivsach until Aza. Rav Shmuel Chadam or Tivsach Besofa Olam, V'Aza Besofa Olam. One says Tivsach was one end of the world, Aza was the other end of the world. V'Chadam or Tivsach V'Aza Ba'de Adadi Avayasu, that they were right next to each other. Just like he ruled on Tifsach and Aza, he ruled on the entire world. But in the end, he ruled over only the Jewish people. Then he ruled only over Yerushalayim. It kept getting smaller and smaller. Then he only ruled over his bed. Then he only ruled over his walking stick. Rav Shmuel, Charam Makala v'Charam Gunda. One says it refers to his walking stick, one says it refers to his cloak, his talus. Hadar Aloha, did he ever go back to his former prominence? So Rav Shmuel, Charam Hadar v'Charam Aloha. One says he did, one says he didn't. Mandiyam Aloha, der Melech v'Hedyot. The one who says he didn't go back to his former prominence says he was a Melech, then he became a regular person. And the one that says he did go back to his former prominence says that he was a melech, then he became a regular person, and then he became a melech once again.